couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poehler Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Friday morning. Mallory Piping, text line 251-343-0106. Still working on a guest for the end of the program, but it may just be me. So y'all are accustomed to that as already. So we'll see where that goes. But joining us now, you know him as on this station as the voice of the Moon Pie Minute, but he's also kind of the government affairs guy for the city of Mobile. Welcome to the program, Steve McNair. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, I'm doing fine. Good morning from the western side of the bay, and be happy opening day for red snapper season.
Yeah, it's really thrown a wrench in the proceedings of FM Talk 106.5. Everybody's out on the boat today.
Well, I kept my boat in the harbor just for you, Jeff.
You are you're a true gentleman for doing so. Well, let's kick it off here. Another session has come and gone. I wasn't particularly enamored with it, but it's not like there were a lot of bad things that happened. Well, what's sort of been your take from where you are?
Yeah, you know, every session kind of has its own rhythms and kind of has a theme to it, and you know, this particular year, I'd say public safety, if you had to pick something, was kind of the theme. All the Big Ten mayors come together for a press conference with leadership, and of course the governor leading the way with that package. So, you know, the city of Mobile was very involved with working on those bills. I'm sure that people are familiar with Back the Blue bill, that's HB 202. And of course, there was the Glock Switch legislation. There was the update to Anaya's Law, which is actually a constitutional amendment you'll vote on the next ballot in 2026. And then there's the persons forbidden shooting into houses legislation. So those were a lot of the big focuses. But you know, to your point, it was easier to focus on a lot of those things this year because we didn't have gaming and, you know, some of the more, you know, kind of hot topic issues that kind of take the wind out of the room like we've seen last year and previous years.
You know, I kind of mentioned this earlier in the program, but I was just thinking about this, like, and then, you know, these things are kind of come and go in ebbs and flows, but you look at the way the sort of establishment Montgomery or even inside the state house, you're looking out and you look at the different, like the Big Ten, but let's say the Big Five, really. You know, sort of right now, Birmingham and Montgomery, I mean, maybe it's a little harsh to call them problem children, but that seems to be where there's a lot of focus, waterworks and crime, et cetera. Huntsville is the golden child right now. Huntsville is, you know, we're going to get Space Command and the FBI is going to locate there. It's going to be great. We just need more Huntsville. We can't get enough Huntsville. And they kind of get a Mobile right now, some ways, kind of the middle child, you know, just blocking and tackling. You have some highlights, absolutely. But that seems to be kind of the big picture state focus right now.
You know, Jeff, that may be the perception, and certainly there's a lot of challenges with the cities. And just so your listeners know, the Big Ten is comprised of the 10 biggest cities of 50,000 residents or more. And so, to your point, it used to be the Big Five, and now it's the Big Ten. But, you know, Huntsville certainly gets their fair share of attention and resources. But, you know, one thing that we've been able to do in Montgomery is educate House and Senate leadership and even rank-and-file members on what Mobile's potential is, or even the entire Gulf Coast, I'll say, and how it's all interconnected. You know, the interconnectivity, whether it's about economic development, jobs, education between Mobile involving counties is something you've got to look at holistically. But also when it comes to the city of Mobile, you can't just look at the bridge in a vacuum or downtown development with the Civic Center or the expansion of the infrastructure for freight and passenger rail, the airport moving downtown. All of those things are also interconnected. And for the first time in a long time, I will say that that people around the state, especially the North Alabama leadership, they see that and they get that. And so that's really helped the narrative and helped our arguments when we ask for resources or ask for certain bills or certain attention to be addressed, because they don't see it as an airport issue. They see it as an airport, everything connected issue. So, Yeah, Huntsville gets the headlines, but I will say we've made quite a bit of progress up there as far as getting the attention that Mobile deserves.
And, you know, historically, it's been an issue. Mobile's out of mind, out of sight to a lot of these guys. And you know, we're going to talk about maybe this open Senate seat in a moment, but as a Rusty Glover would talk about this. You draw a line through the middle of the state, and since the state's gone Republican in 2010, you got more Republicans in that northern half of the state, and it's a very top-heavy. The pro tem, the majority leaders, the speaker, they're all from North Alabama. And, Mobile's always complained about being the red-headed stepchild or whatever. And I mean, maybe that's not quite a challenge anymore. We're more interconnected now than we were, 20, 30 years ago. But that's got to be like an issue, one of the hurdles you got to overcome in your role.
It absolutely is, because when we're talking about permitting or taxation, there's so many issues that are really specific to the Gulf Coast because of just, whether it's the fact that we have two interstates or the Class 1 railroads, or as I said, we're the only port city, obviously. And when it comes to hurricane preparedness and prevention and, flood issues and wind, all of those things are, hyper-specific just to Mobile. And so educating a lot of folks, because, there's quite a bit of turnover up there. There's a lot of new faces. And so making sure they understand how we're different and why we need a little bit of a special attention is a challenge, but we're getting there. And I'll say that it's a testament, the fact that, and I think you spoke about this on your show, that, Senate Pro Tem Garland Gudger came through town this week. That was no accident. That was because of the relationships we've built with him in Montgomery and, working with him and his team. And, he said he wanted to come down and sit down with us and talk about how we can get ready for next year. So that's the first time that's happened, to have that kind of leadership proactively reach out and say, I want to come to Mobile, sit down with you, get ready, and see what we can do for you.
Well, I tell you, and I was on the air in Huntsville when the Rebuild Alabama Act passed, but I know the sort of a lot of people really were scratching their heads. Why is the Port of Mobile getting, the very first cut at the very first swing at the Rebuild Alabama Act funding? But, what I was surprised by is just how everybody in the state sort of got on board, and they, be it whatever parroting the talking points or whatever it may be, but saying, well, this is going to be good for the entire state. Agree or disagree with it. It was sort of like a kind of a breakthrough moment to me to see that happen the way that did.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And that's a testament, of course, to the Mobile delegation working together as a team. The mayor's coming together, the county representative, city, but also the port. I mean, the port does such a good job of promoting how they impact the economy of our state, the job growth, and also talking about the future. The organizations like the port, they're never standing still. They're always thinking about expanding, what they can do better, what they can do bigger. And so that was the breakthrough moment. I agree with you. And I think we're only going to see more of that as the port expands. Obviously the deepening and widening of the channel is going to come to fruition this, really within the next few months. So expect more of that.
On that same note, the I-10 bridge, and there hasn't been a whole lot of press about it. A lot going on at the federal level regarding the funding, but do you have a sense of what things are like there kind of at the ALDOT level?
Yeah, I mean, you saw the TIFI, you saw the super grant come through. So, that check is in the mail as far as the, $550 million. What we're waiting to hear back on now is the result of the TIFI loan application, which can fund up to 49% of the remaining balance of the project in the form of a low interest loan. And, that's really going to be the writing on the wall about how much of that TIFI loan is going to be approved. We don't know when we're going to hear back on that. We hear it's going to be imminent, but that's really the next big step in making sure that it's fully funded.
Well, we're keeping an eye on that. Local politics that matter at the state level, open Senate seat, Jack Williams running for ag commissioner. Mobile County has three state. Well, I mean, I know that Alberton gets into Mobile County too now. Generally speaking, you have the Williams seat and you got Senator Sessions down in the south part of county and Senator Figures. Talk about that Senate seat and why that's should be on the minds of our listeners.
Yeah, that's a deal to have an open seat for Mobile County, and of course that is only because Jack Williams is volunteering to run for, you know, agriculture commissioner for the state, and he's done a great job of promoting that race and getting out there and meeting with all the right folks, and so that really opens up a big opportunity for somebody. And you know, right now Doug Harwell has announced, you know, he's a longtime member of the school board for Mobile County. You've got Rusty Glover, of course, former member of the Alabama Senate and former candidate for lieutenant governor. And then you have Representative Easterbrook, who is expected to announce, and he is a House member for Washington County. So that's just the three that we're hearing, but it's going to be a big race. And that's an interesting district because, you know, it includes everything from a portion of Saraland over to Sims all the way into Spring Hill. So it's really an eclectic group, and it's going to includes everything from farmers to the country club. So it's going to be interesting to see how those candidates handle that.
Yeah, and you know that's a place, you know, as far as state goes, and you could kind of pick neighborhoods and Senate districts, but it's also one of the faster growing. It's on the upswing, it seems like.
It is. Yeah, you're exactly right, and that's really for a lot of reasons that's true. But Jack has done a great job of representing that area very well. But the growth in that area, there's no question that, you know, we've seen a lot of Western expansion into that portion of Mobile County and the city of Mobile. And so I would expect to see, you know, more of the same. But, it's going to be fun to watch. I would expect probably at least one or two more people to get into that race. We may even see a runoff, but it's going to be fun to see. And hopefully they can work well with the delegation. You know, that's so important to be able to work with Senator Figures and Senator Sessions and kind of keep the momentum going that we've been able to build as part of the delegation. They worked extremely well this year on both sides of the aisle, getting local bills passed, working as a team. And so that's just as important to somebody like me as it is to have the proper representation generally.
Joined by Stephen McNair. He's with the city of Mobile. Also, as I said, the voice of the Moon Pie Minute, that some of you probably know him very fondly. Steve, let's talk about this, and I think this is all coming together now. The 2026 picture beyond that Senate seat. You know, it looks like Tommy Tuberville is going to announce for governor, but you know, leaving names out of it and talking about don't forget about us or don't forget about Mobile. And because I've watched these statewide races, and man, sometimes they, you know, depending on the consultant and the way they do their campaign, they're very myopically focused on winning that Birmingham market that goes all the way from like parts of Choctaw County to Cherokee County. That is a big, big market. But, you know, Mobile sometimes gets a short shrift in these campaign politics. But what would you say? I mean, you know, you're the voice for candidate XYZ, and this may be even applicable to the open Senate seat if Tuberville announces, what would you say to them about kind of keeping Mobile in the picture?
Well, you know, Senator Tuberville did a good job when he was running for that position of really taking the time to get to know us in Mobile, because to your point, he didn't know a lot about when he was a candidate, you know, he didn't know a lot about the economic development and what the expansions were looking like at Austell and Airbus and, of course, the bridge and, you know, the port and all those kind of things. And he has done a great job of really diving in deep and saying, what can I do for you? You know, he really gets it. His staff are very proactive. And so I think that'd be the lesson learned, is take the time to understand that what we have is a little bit different. It's important, of course, to everybody down here. And the interconnectivity that I mentioned between Mobile and Baldwin counties, not looking at just one or the other, just understanding how they're both interconnected. So, you know, the media market, you know, as you know, is a little bit tricky, because when you pay for, things on the coast, sometimes you receive that information in Mississippi, or you receive it in Florida, or it kind of goes everywhere. But just taking the time to come down for the tours of the facilities and getting to know the leaders involved, and of course, sitting down with, you know, Mayor Stimson before he leaves office in November. I think that's just retail politics, just getting to know the players down here and not assuming that it's kind of a monolithic thing, like it's just Mobile is one thing. There's a lot of players and parts down here, but they need to understand also what we're building for the next generation. You know, that's the big thing. When you talk about Airbus and Austell and all those kind of legacy projects that I mentioned, that's going to impact not only what's going to happen in Mobile and the state for the next 10 years, but really the next 100 years. And that's where them understanding what they can do for us in the big picture is going to be, it's going to be crucial for us supporting somebody.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this. The mayoral election obviously is going to have a lot to do with everything we just talked about. How's that going? Does it seem like these candidates up and down the ballot there really understand the relationship between the city and the state?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that for some of them more than others, you know, I attended the mayoral forum on Tuesday night that was at Dolphin Way Methodist in Midtown, and all seven candidates were there, and a lot of the questions focused on preservation and planning and kind of neighborhood development and things like that. But overall, I'd say, I mean, you obviously have Representative Drummond, who is no stranger to Montgomery. You know, she does a great job as representing her district in Montgomery. And then, of course, you have County Commissioner Hudson, who's on the city council, and she's been on the county commission. And so she fully understands. But then, you know, candidates like Spiro have done a great job of reaching out to the delegation, getting to know them, and really making an effort to follow the session this year, ask a lot of questions, and get engaged. So, yeah, there's definitely, well, first of all, with seven candidates, you know, it's going to be a lot of moving sands between now and August 26th. But yeah, you can definitely tell the candidates that are taking that approach of looking at Mobile in the bigger picture versus just focusing on the only local things. But that was an interesting forum. And if folks are not engaged in that election yet, the clock is ticking. I mean, we vote in just about 3 months. It is likely to be a runoff, which is going to be in late September. So, yeah, it's really go time. I think after the holiday, we're going to see the billboards and the commercials and the radio ads start to kick up. But that was a great forum for everybody. Everybody was well behaved as well, which was nice to see.
Stephen McNair, ladies and gentlemen, with the City of Mobile. Steve, we appreciate it. Let's do it again soon.
Anytime, Jeff. Have a good weekend. Thank you.
All right. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.